I've been having more fun than anybody else. I hope you understand that I enjoy what I do. And I love sharing the principles that I have learned from the scriptures. I think I, like Paul, in much of what I do, I hope in all of what I do, it's as a result of revelation from God by His Holy Spirit. May I never be a regurgitator of the Word. But I want you to understand that I really know the truth of what I'm saying to you. I think that sometimes we'll get a message, hear a message, and it becomes an echo of somebody else's message. It becomes an echo, an echo, an echo, an echo. And pretty soon it fades away. But the reality is, if we move properly in God, He reveals things to us. It's eternal. And it can be fresh. How in the world can we still be talking about Jesus and the Bible after all these times and still come up with new things every day? Mm-hmm. You know, that's amazing to me. It's because we serve a God who is new every day. And that's important for us to see the truth of that. I pray that in this time that we're here, that God will revolutionize your life, your spiritual life, so that you understand that He is God. He means to be your Father in that process. He means to confront darkness in you, because that's how He organizes a life to be useful in His hands. You know, I can tell you now that if darkness confronts pure light, it loses. It's interesting, when we were in Mid-Hudson, what they did there to get us out the door was to turn the lights off. And that was a sign that we needed to leave. And I remember being younger in a bar, they turned the lights on to get you to leave. Oh, you were there too. I get this. All right. But it's the dynamics of it all, see. If I wanted to leave this room and I wanted it dark, I don't go to a switch and say, where's the dark switch? I'm going to turn it on so it gets dark in here. No. Can't do it. Why? Because every time the light and dark come together, there's only one thing that changes. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. I was starting to share about the evangelism of darkness. I'll tell you right now, there's an army out there that's of darkness that really wants to remain dark. People who do these dark things do them in the dark intentionally, because that's where they think life is. It's not there. I met a gal a few years ago. Lois and I were in outside of Daytona Beach in a church called the Rock Church. By the way, you guys reminded me of the Rock Church this morning, because when they started their worship, nobody was in the front. Started to worship, the whole aisles filled up, the whole front filled up. And I'm telling you what a great worship time we had there and here. But it just reminded me of that. The spirit of that, what I would say, is the same. We met a gal who prepares little bags of blessing. And she takes them into the strip clubs there. In Daytona Beach, that's a big part of that. I only heard that. I don't know that. I only heard that. But they would go in there and they leave these little bags of blessing, you know, fingernail polish and things like that. And some treats, you know, sugar treats, sweet things. And then there's a small booklet in there. And that booklet is the gospel message. And I was so blessed with this woman, young lady, very attractive young lady. And she's standing there and I'm thinking, what? How in the world did she get to this place where she's going into all these strip clubs in Daytona and she's delivering these little packages? And she is totally excited about the fact that even somebody would even come to the Lord somehow, or even show up at a church meeting or whatever. And then we heard her story. And she was from Texas, where she worked in a strip club. And somebody brought a little bag to her. Changed her life forever. I'm going to tell you that you have opportunities you don't know about. And we need to recognize that we are not doing something. We are joining something God is doing. It's very clear in Acts when we find Peter going into the house of Cornelius. I don't think Peter had enough knowledge to change a life, but it says there that when he preached, that the Holy Spirit fell on the people. You see, there's a cooperation between the I'm going to say the elements of light to accomplish what God wants in a dark place. I'm so glad we're on the winning side of this whole thing. And I'm so glad God allows us to be a part of that. I share those things because light is light and dark is dark. And it isn't real hard to figure out. There's a passage in James that we referred to along the way. And that passage actually says that God is the Father of lights. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Because Jesus is the light of men. When we are in a place where we have received the light of men, another place in the scripture says that light that we become, because he says that we are now light bearers, mm-hmm. See? We have the privilege of bearing a light that's not ours. But in that process, he says to us that the scriptures are telling us this very thing. It is our life in Christ that is the light of men. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a life in Christ that's being revealed to the darkness around you, you are not light. But if you have a life in Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you have the light of Christ, that life that you're living, in Colossians he says, my life is hidden in Christ. If that's who you are, then you bring a light that you're not responsible to crank up a generator for it. You just bring it. And when you bring it, darkness is confronted. People don't like that, to live in darkness, by the way. Matter of fact, that's why they want to have the debate. Is there really a God? Did he really create? Because if they can stir up your doubt somehow, you'll find yourself in the wilderness the same way as the Israelites were because of their doubt. I don't want to be in a wilderness. The reality is that God intends for us to experience this light in such a way that we can't take credit for it. And that's why we are wasted religious efforts. I think God says, why are you doing that? You know. Mm-hmm. We sang this song about an eternal fire. Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that great? Actually, that passage comes out of Isaiah also. But there's a place where God declares that he is a fire that is eternal. And he's for us in that process, bringing this eternal fire. An everlasting fire is what it says. We were in a retreat center, and it was a very liturgical setting. And they had this bowl burning with a flame in it. And we didn't know what that was. It was just there. Because we're not so liturgical. I'm sure that it has a lot of good meanings, but I didn't know about that. We were just there having a Jesus moment with a group of guys. And one of the guys was on the retreat. We were making sure nothing would burn down. He blew that out. Oh, I'm telling you, the world was coming to an end. We had so many people saying, what happened to this light? Who blew this light out? And this man who absolutely, he has no knowledge of religion or Christianity, he said, I just was trying to make sure the place didn't burn down. And now, we have a light that can't be burnt out.
That's right, Art.
Can't be blown out, can't be destroyed. There's no way that you can blow the light out that's inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether I experience sickness unto death, whatever it is. This light is not going away because it's an eternal light that God has set in place. In James, it says he is the father of lights. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm seeing here? Lights. Each one of us, when we're born again, you're born again to pure light. Think about that. Yeah, we're born again by the Spirit. We say we're, you know, we've been born again, but what you've been introduced to, the seed from above, is actually, if you could actually see it, it's brilliant because it's pure light.
Yes.
And so when you got born again, in a sense, that pure light begins to change you. And sometimes we fight that. Sometimes we don't want to miss life, you know. When I'll turn my life over to the Lord when I'm 60. That way I can live life, and then I can just do this dumb thing called, you know, whatever. Thank God. Thank God that truth wins out. The Bible teaches us he came full of grace and truth. Here is pure light, who was not created. Here's pure love, is not created. And here's pure truth and grace that cannot be perverted. Are you blessed?
Yeah.
I am telling you, when we say yes to this, we are so blessed. There is no hurdle that we can't get over. There's no mountain that we can't climb. You know, we just reach a place in our Christian walk. I hope you don't mind I'm just talking to you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
We reach a place sometimes in our Christian walk, we say, we just can't do that. You don't know who I am. Guess what? Somebody knows who you are.
That's right. Yes.
And in that place, we're set free from anything that you think you're anchored to in your past, in your dark life, so to speak. Born into darkness without understanding, we come to a place of being enlightened by the grace of God. I want to encourage you not to trust men who tell you this is the way it is, this is what it's about, but rather let God confirm in your spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because he will guide you through paths of religious processes to come to him if you allow him to do that. And when he does, he will set you free. Somewhere along the weekend I said that people who are free, They're receiving this free gift. They're free. They become religious to prove that they've received it. They get a spirit of religion so they can prove that they are Christians or related to him. When indeed the very fact that we are born again by the Father of lights to be set free from the religious process. Okay? So, when I consider the Father of Lights, if you've read that passage and said, oh, it's some kind of an allegory, or it's, you know, it's just a nice way of saying something I don't understand. Let me help you. This is what it's saying, lights.
Mm-hmm.
You're all lights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a light. You're a light. My wife was a light before I was a light. Something was going on before it was going on with me. Boy, is that challenging. We don't need to go there, but sometime when we're doing some couples thing, that's a time to have this. And we can talk about all of those things. But, you know, this wasn't easy for us. We were never on the same page with this. I was threatened by her spiritual experiences that were real and truthful. And I was the one who was feeling like, I'm out of this whole picture somehow. So I'm pouring myself into the Word of God. I'm reading all I can. I'm praying, and I'm a revelation is coming as I begin to share it. I realize that she was threatened by that. Listen, let's get together, husbands and wives, and let our light shine as one. When we are together in that, it's going to come forth in a very powerful way. And so I just want to say to you, I am delighted that I'm one who can say I'm a light. And my Father is a big, big light.
Yeah.
And when I go to Nigeria, I go to anywhere, I'm a light. I go there as a light. I'm an ambassador of light. I'm ambassador of light in the sense that when I come into a room, people are affected by that. I don't have to even say, open my word, Ashley, in my mouth, Ashley. I do that because people are affected by it. My mother was. We were so happy in Jesus, and our lights are shining, and I walked into my mother's kitchen, and she said, "Why do you condemn us?" I didn't even open my mouth. "Why do you condemn us?" And then I realized that all the siblings in our family had gotten together and had this discussion without us. What was going on? Well, they were being exposed to a pure light that's unexplainable. And so they began to react to that. I'm going to tell you, you can walk into a room, total strangers. You don't even have to open your mouth. You're going to find people reacting in ways to say, "Why are they acting this way?" Well, guess what, pure light? You're doing just fine because you're in a place where darkness is being confronted. Amen? So whether it's family or anybody else, let your light shine. Let's see. It's in Scripture someplace. Let your light shine. See, that's the whole point. We are commissioned to be the light of the world.
Yes.
And that's so important for us to recognize that in being the light of the world, we're just simply people who are totally sold out to a life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He in us, in the hope of glory, we're sold out to that. And if we're in that place, then we truly are the light of the world. We're talking about a terrorist in northern Uganda. Many years ago, we were exposed to his activities there. And I need to look around the room. I think I can say this. He controlled people. And the way he controlled them, he needed men in his, it's called the Lord's Resistance Army. Go figure. I don't get that at all. What Lord, I don't, maybe that's the point, what Lord. But he would go into a village, and then he needed the young men from the age of like 12 up. He needed the young women because he sold them in the Sudan to finance his effort. And so he would go into a village and he would get all of these young men. And then he would corral all of these young women. Then he would have the young men kill their parents personally. So they knew they had no place to come back to. He controlled with fear. If a young man did something that he wasn't supposed to be doing, he was stood in front of the whole legion of people where his ear would be cut off and he had to eat it in front of everybody. This is a sick world in darkness. Somebody said to me one time, what kind of a God allows that to happen? He doesn't.
That's right.
He sent us. He sent pure light into darkness. That's his rescue process. It to bring people to a place where they see pure light. Oh, we are in a place to change this world. Paul understood that. He said, "You guys take Jerusalem, I'll take Asia Minor." What did he understand? Christ in him, the hope of glory. He even says, "I have an understanding of this. I've even written about it so you might know how advanced my understanding is of this light inside of me." In a sense. Because he said it's the mystery. That's what he called it, to have fellowship with the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You get a hold of this, and life changes in you, and it changes outside of you. People will be changed because of this pure light that you bear in this world. My goodness, I had some notes here someplace. I get more out of this than you do. You need to know that. I hope you get something out of it, but I get more out of it than you do. In John, we're going to look at John chapter 1, verse 6, for a few verses here that I want us to look at. It's talking about a witness to the true light. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light. And if you have a scripture in front of you, that's a capital L. For those who are not aware, when Jesus or God is referred to in an allegory kind of situation like this, you'll see a capital L there. That all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. I want to share this with you because this is how this works. When you share the witness, you're doing it. Mm-hmm. That's what you're here for. You're doing it. You're here to be a testimony of the true light.
Yes.
That light, when you're a testimony to that light, then the world begins to change. They say there's about 2.2, maybe 4 billion people in the world. Christians, not in the world, just there's lights in the world. I should put it that way. There's like 6.5 billion people. If each one of those lights was able to see two people lit, in 1 week, the world would be saved. Mm-hmm. Think about that. The power of this is amazing. All the Reinhard Bonnkes and all the people who preached to millions at a time, I love them all. They are supposed to be here, but you want to know something? They could preach day and night and have these great crusades day and night, but they couldn't get the world transformed the way that one ministering to two can change the world. So in you setting in your place, if you don't get out of that seat with some light, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Every one of us here, we're here because somebody told us about a Jesus that's real. Yeah. And so those who are living in darkness right now, they like living in darkness because that's life. They don't know the light that we know. I want to be that witness, a faithful witness, for the God who called me. I can stand here and honestly say to you, if I were my judge, I'd be condemned. For me personally. Things in my life that I can't change. Things in my life I regret that I did, that living in this part of my life, I would never do that. But I did it. And so the only way for me to not be focused on those things is to be blinded by a light that will not distract me.
Wow.
And so I'm blinded. I loved it when the evangelist in the 70s said, bringing up to Jesus about the man, bringing up to Jesus about his sin. What are you talking about? And he found out that God has holy amnesia. Well, it wasn't that. He's just so bright, you can't think of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when Paul lost his seat on the horse.
Mm-hmm.
I lost mine. You lost yours. I hope you lost yours, because if you're still hanging on to the saddle horn, you haven't got it yet. Just get blown off that horse and enjoy the pure light. I don't know what you expected this weekend, but what you're hearing is deeper than you think. I tell leaders when I'm talking with leaders, I say, don't let the simplicity of the truth of the Word of God rob you of its blessing. Mm-hmm. We have a tendency of measuring it on how intellectual it is. Stop. Don't do that. Hear a message and let your heart explode with revelation of a living God. Mm-hmm. That's what he called us to. I'm so excited about this church in particular. For a lot of reasons, and maybe some of them are very personal to me, but I'm very excited about this church in particular. Because I know the leaders in this church, they have been raptured by that pure light. And you're going someplace. And that's why we need to get together here. That's why we need to do this together. Kingston, my goodness. I've known about Kingston a long time. But Kingston's about to see something of pure light in a different way than they've ever seen before. And the way that's going to happen is because we know something that people who live in darkness don't know that should know. And he's called us to be a testimony. You're going to have this, what's the park name?
Cantine.
Cantine Park. I don't know what Cantine means, but I know it's going to be lit up. It is going to be lit up. Josh and Elaine and, of course, Bruce and Linda can actually bear testimony of the church that grows because we decide to become the church in that community. Even though there's a lot, you know, I mean, we just knew that we were called there. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to ask permission to be there because we were sent. And we did it over barbecue sometimes. We did it over treasure hunts in Crawford Park. You mentioned that. What, we just live life together, bearing testimony, letting people see our life in Christ. I love the fact that the Father of lights has children. Amen?
Amen.
I said earlier, my hope is that you will be changed forever. As you read through the scriptures and you see the word light, just know that's not by accident. You see a scripture where you just blew over before about because he is the Father of lights. I mean, you're in that picture. Mm-hmm. Just begin to look at it and say, Father, thank you for bringing into my life an illumination that allows me to see where I need to go, where you've called me to go. Life's a kick in the head. If you know Jesus, it's a journey.
That's right.
It's a journey of bringing light into darkness. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you grace. What a marvelous thing to be lights. God bless you.